Blog Talk Radio.
There's only one car company in America that's never made a single car. And while you won't find Firestone cars on any showroom floor, they're out there, running better, faster, stronger, longer. We help trucks do more trucking. We give muscle cars more muscle. We keep SUVs king of the mountain long after the new car smell has faded. We believe the value of a car is determined by what you do with it, and there's no way that decreases when you drive it off the lot. No, we don't build cars. But make no mistake, Firestone is a car company. So whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Money talks. So put your money where your mouth is. Be a voice today by donating to Be a Voice. Cash App, $, Be a Voice Tour. That's $, BEAVOICETOUR. Be a Voice Tour, or donate via Venmo at Be a Voice. If you would like to donate via credit card, you must call the Be a Voice office at 844-642-8378, extension 111. Again, 844-642-8378, extension 111. Be a Voice today. This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J. You're now tuned into WBNN News Forum, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia, with host and anchor, investigative reporter, Chinchilla Jonesia. Hey, everybody, this is your girl, Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J. And welcome to another segment of News Forum. Tonight is Sunday, September 18th, 2022. Tonight's topic, the terrors of injustice in America, part two, death behind prison walls. Get statistical data on prison deaths across this country. Tonight, criminal defense attorney Caroline Turner and I will examine these wrongful, mysterious, suspicious deaths, as well as intentional murders, so-called suicides, lynchings, and legalized executions. Families and advocates will speak out tonight on death behind prison walls. Special guest tonight will be Serena Bowie, mother of Kedrick Bowie, who died in a Georgia prison 5 years ago. Also, Hassan Sistrunk, son of Omar Askia Ali, who died in a Pennsylvania prison in 2021. We will hear from inmates across the country telling the nightmares of death they've experienced behind prison walls. And we will also hear from Muti Osaveru with an interview on death behind prison walls. All live right here tonight on News Forum with the girl Chinchilla J. So don't you dare go nowhere. Keep it right there. News Forum with the girl will be right back after this. Right the Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice would like to thank sponsor Sound Therapy with Magic Man Peru LLC, offering sound therapy as a form to bring the best instead of the beast out of us. Thank you, Magic Man Peru LLC, for your sponsorship of Be a Voice. Find out how you can also be a sponsor by dialing 844-642-8378 extension 111 to continue the advocacy work to free the wrongfully incarcerated, to end mass incarceration and child life without the possibility of parole. For more information, contact Be a Voice at 878 Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. extension 111. Be a Voice today. Thank you to my millions of listeners worldwide. News Forum with your girl Chinchilla J now has over 17 million listeners. News Forum broadcasts live each and every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time right here on WBNN. News Forum is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Chinchilla Jonesia is host and anchor and investigative reporter. If you're listening tonight via the World Wide Web and would like to talk, comment, vent, or ask a question, you must dial 516-453-9133. Again, that number is 516-453-9133. If you're already listening tonight via phone and would like to talk, comment, vent, share a story of injustice or corruption, or ask a question to one of our guests, please press 1 and you will be placed into the caller queue. Please keep in mind that while News Forum is a very controversial show with many controversial topics as well as controversial callers and guests, and while we allow freedom of speech for all, we ask that you refrain from using profanity. And also, keep in mind that some of the views of our guests, as well as our hosts, are not always the views of News Forum, WBNN, or Ngozi Time Multimedia. To reach Chinchilla Jonesia after the show, you may call her Monday through Friday at 844-642-8378, extension 888. Again, that number is 844-642-8378, extension 888. Like and follow Miss Controversy herself, Chinchilla Jonesia, on Facebook, and at Princess Chinchilla on Instagram. Chinchilla has one L. And now, here she is, host and anchor, investigative reporter, Chinchilla J. All right, good evening. Good evening, right, everybody.
All right, a little feedback in the line there. I know what's going on there, so let's try to fix that. But, you know, while she's trying to fix that, we'll just play a track and get that all together. And it's all about love, y'all. So we all need to be taught how to love. Hey, music. Give it to them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. I was told the true definition of a man was to never cry, work till you die, got to provide, always be the rock for your fam, protect them by all means, yeah. Whoa, our relationship is
wanna give you that I don't really love you, baby. I say, I keep my feelings deep in. Say something with my eyes. I'm trying desperately, baby. Please work with me, yeah. To surrender my heart, yeah. Surrender my heart. Teach me how to love. Give my all. Teach me how to love. I was always taught to be strong. Never let them think it. Let no one get close before. I didn't share things with you, girl, about my past that I never tell to anyone else. I just keep it to myself. Now I know I lack affection and expressing my feelings. It took me a minute to come and admit this, but see, I'm really trying to change. I wanna love you better. I'm trying desperately, baby. Show me, yeah, to surrender my heart. Yeah, how to love.
Chinchilla J. All right. Thank you so much, Brother O. Hey, everybody. This is Chinchilla Jonesi, a.k.a. Chinchilla J, and welcome to another segment of News Forum. Tonight, we're going to be talking about deaths in prison. So this is part two of the terrors of injustice in America, because there are too many men and women dying behind prison walls each and every year, each and every month. And I'm going to give you the statistics later of the prison deaths around this country. It is just mind-blowing, everybody. How are these deaths taking place? Why are they happening? Yes, some have died because of old age, but there's healthy men that have been dying in prison. Deaths that have been ruled a suicide when these men were not suicidal. deaths that have been very mysterious and suspicious, because they say that, oh, well, someone had a stroke, they had a heart attack, they died from COVID, they don't know how they died, it's undocumented, there's no cause of death, natural causes, all types of things. And we know that many men have been beaten to death in prison by other inmates. We know that prison guards, the COs, have brutally beaten men and even women, raped women in prison, impregnated women, and women have died in childbirth in prisons. And a few weeks ago, we had the case of Samuel Randolph on. So we definitely know that these correctional officers, they brutally beat men behind the walls. They beat Samuel to the point of paralysis. He can't even sit up in a chair, for heaven's sakes. And he told his story right here on News Forum. And he told his story on Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls podcast. And we got to actually see him laying in the bed and how he has to lay in the bed and how he only can lean to one side on an elbow. And, you know, these are the things, the nightmares that men and women face behind prison walls each and every day. And so many deaths have occurred. Yes, we've heard about some. We see some on the news. But then there are those that never even get mentioned. And it's a sad situation. So we're here to bring these injustices to light tonight, right here on News Forum. So we're going to expose these ungodly deaths in America prisons. And, you know, we know things like this happen over in foreign prisons. But guess what? Our prison system is much worse than any foreign prison in the world, okay? And you would think ours would be better, but it's not. And it's a sad, sad shame. Let's speak to Caroline for a moment. Caroline, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you. Chinchilla, how are you?
I am fine, Caroline. I'm fine. It just really, really saddens me to constantly, you know, see people dying in prison, all types of deaths. And it just saddens me, it disgusts me, it irritates me, it frustrates me. And it's just terrible. And we're going to be talking about these deaths tonight. We have some guests that will be join us tonight to tell the stories of their loved ones who have died behind the walls. And we'll also hear from inmates talking about what they've witnessed as far as murders behind the walls. And, you know, it's really sad. What are your thoughts on that, Caroline, before we go into Barb Morley?
Oh, it happens all the time. Terrible things happen behind prison walls, and, you know, like there is in the police force at times, there's, you know, the brotherhood, they cover up for each other. They don't necessarily tell the truth about what has happened. And inmates are intimidated into not filing grievances because they know they're going to get retaliated against. And so the whole situation is so coercive that often guards can get away with absolutely anything. And it is absolutely terrible.
It definitely is. It definitely is. And, you know, and, yeah, they get away with anything. They've gotten away with so much, so many murders, so many beatings, and it's just ridiculous. And that has to change. It has to change. And I think that the more people, the family members of, you know, those who have been wrongfully murdered in prison, they need to start to really speak up and speak out against this. And, you know, the more of them that do, I think that things will begin to change in that area. What do you think about that, Caroline?
Yeah, the more sunlight on the subject, the more things have to happen. But you remember, you have to have a system where the warden is on board with fighting this type of behavior. You have to have guards who are prepared to do the right thing. You have to have open lines of communication. You have to, you know, there's been so many cover-ups, it's very difficult for prisoners to actually report what's going on. Yeah, there's grievance procedures, but there's terrible retaliation if they do file grievance procedures. And the stories I've heard of my friends who were in prison are just so horrendous and so unimaginable, but it happens all the time.
Yeah.
So it's awful.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, and these are the, you know, the reasons why so many inmates don't want to file grievances, like some of the ones that we've talked to on News Forum and on Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls. And, you know, the first thing you tell them to do is file a grievance. And so many have not, and they share the reasons why they don't. And it's just a shame. That's, I mean, wow. You know, intimidation, fear, you know, because they think that and they know that they're going to wind up being beat by the guards or thrown in the hole or anything else or starved or have their food tampered with by, you know, the guards that actually spit in people's food. And, you know, like we heard from Samuel, what the guards did to his food. And, you know, it's just a shame, Caroline, this prison system in our country. It's like, I would say, the worst in the world. It's just really craziness in this country. And it just has to change. It has to change. Everybody, we do have some special guests that will be joining us tonight. Serena Bowie, who's going to tell the story of what happened with her son, Kedrick, in a Georgia prison. And, you know, it's just really sad. And my heart goes out to her and to all the other mothers out there that have lost sons or daughters in prison. And it's just ridiculous. And for those also who have lost parents in prison, because Hassan, we're going to be speaking with Hassan a little bit later as well, who is the son of Omar Eskia Ali. We're going to be speaking with him. But right now, I want you all to take a listen, because, listen, too many of you are not standing up for your rights. It's time that you get up and stand up, be a voice, and stand up for your rights. Take a listen.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Get up, stand up, don't give up. is in kissing game. Dinah, go to heaven in a Jesus' name, Lord. We know and we understand. Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So now we see the light.
What you
gonna we gonna
do?
Stand up for
yeah,
our rights.
Yeah,
so you better get
up, stand up
in the
don't
morning.
Give it up,
stand up for your rights.
Stand up
in
right
the
now.
Night.
Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Don't give it up. Don't give
All right. Thank you so much, Brother O, for playing that track by Bob Marley, Get Up, Stand Up. And the woman that we're about to speak to next, my special guest tonight, Serena Bowie, she is definitely someone who is standing up, speaking up and speaking out and standing up for justice for her son. She has been relentlessly fighting for answers. She's demanding answers, and she wants accountability in the death of her son, Kedrick Bowie. And, you know, more of you out there, you need to stand up, because guess what? If you just sit and allow things to happen and don't do anything, don't say anything, change will never take place, even if you have not experienced the same situation. Guess what? Someone has. And because someone else has, we need to be very, very concerned about it, because guess what? Just as we always say about wrongful convictions, it could happen to you. And yes, anything can happen to you. And so while we look the other way and don't care, which so many people don't care today, they have no compassion for what's going on with someone else. And we need to, because guess what? This mother has lost a son, and she is still mourning her son. And we have to help Serena Bowie and her family bring justice for Cedric, for Kedrick, I'm sorry. So let's bring her on now. Serena, how are you this evening?
I'm doing okay. How you doing today?
I'm fine, Serena. All right, so tell us about Kedrick, the type of young man he was, the type of child, the type of young man, and, you know, he was incarcerated, but it doesn't matter, because no one should have to suffer and experience any type of violence or beatings or anything else within the prison system. And what happened to your son is just very, very wrong. So tell us about Kedrick.
Kedrick was the type of, he was the type of son that he liked, he real silly. He liked to laugh. He liked to crack. He liked to joke. He loved people. He had a big heart for kids. If he could help someone do something, he was very helpful. He also loved to eat a lot. Food was one of his biggest things. But Kedrick was a good person out of the things that he have done in life. You know, he didn't deserve what he got. And
yes.
His death happened August the 13th, 2017. I talked to him the day before. He was laughing and talking. He was on someone's cell phone, and he reminded me that he's supposed to have been transferred that following Monday to make sure that I put some money on the book. So I told him I would, and he said, well, Mom, I got to call my girlfriend. He said, I just want to tell you I love you. Tell my dad I love him, and tell my brother I love him. The next morning at 10 minutes to 11, I get a phone call, and they telling me that they found my son dead. you know, and when they said that it was like something throwed a rock and just knocked me out, I just could not believe it. You know, you found him dead. So they waited and told me that they would call me back, give me time to get myself together. And, you know, we had to tell his identical twin brother, and which his brother had woke up early that morning. His baby mama said, saying that his head and his back and different parts of his body was hurting. But we didn't put everything together until after the burial. This happened on the 13th. His body didn't arrive from Atlanta, Georgia until August the 23rd of 2017. And we was like 2.5 hours away from Georgia. The whole thing was a cover up. They tried to come up with that Ketchum was using K2, which I knew that drugs was the reason of his death. They say they found black tar heroin in Ketchum's room during the time of his death. And when they tested him, he did not have any black tar heroin in his system. So one of the officers that worked their name, Mr. Wendell Walkoff, had his name on my son's information during the time of getting everything together with the funeral and everything else. Well, I called him after I buried Ketchum, maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, asked him what the rumor was, and he said it was drugs. So later, I just started searching and talking to people. So I was told to start calling the GBI. Well, when I called the GBI, they could not give me any information concerning my son's death because Mr. Wendell Walkoff had his name on my son's information as to Mr. Ken. So it took over 90 days for him to take it off. Well, they tried to say that Ketchum had a coronary artery, heart disease, hypertension, obesity, but in the medical record, it said that Ketchum had an unknown medical history, that he didn't have anything wrong. Also, he had blunt force trauma to the head, blunt force trauma to the torso, contusion, bruises, hemorrhaging, a lot of stuff that was going on with his body. So that tell me that my son was beaten to death, and it caused him, if he went into a cardiac arrest, that was the reason that he went into a cardiac arrest, because he was beaten.
Wow. Boy. Jeez. Caroline.
I'm dreadfully sorry for your loss. That is so awful. And was there an investigation done into why there was blunt force trauma and contusions and all of that?
No, they still tried to, but the autopsy doctor wanted to know why I wanted so much information. So he contacted me December the 16th of 2017 at 8 o'clock that morning. So he was trying to convince me of, did the other twin have any heart issues, that Ketchum had a heart attack. And I told him I didn't believe that. So he told me that if I was trying to sue them, that it would take me years and years and years. I said, it's not about a suit. It's about what happened to my son's body. So I asked him, I said, the trauma to my son's body, can you answer this word, the trauma to my son's body fresh or was it old? He said, well, Ms. Bowie, I can't explain it. Did your son play football? I said, how would I know what my son doing that he was locked up in prison? I said, but I know that he looked away. He said, well, Ms. Bowie, the trauma to your son's body was fresh. It happened the day before his death or the day of his death.
So they can call it heart failure all they like, but the blunt force trauma doesn't go away. What did they rule it? Natural causes, homicide? What did the coroner's report say?
They ruled it as coronary artery, heart disease, hypertension, obesity. Natural cause.
Wow. Yeah, that doesn't explain the blunt force trauma, does it?
No, it don't, because another autopsy doctor looked at the autopsy report And he said that type of disease run into people at the age of 50 and up. He said your son was beaten to death, and if he did go mm-hmm. into a cardiac arrest, it has something to do with the trauma to his body.
Yes, that's what it sounds like. That is absolutely what it sounds like. Oh, my goodness. But they did an autopsy, right?
Yes, yes, ma'am. They did an autopsy. They did the embalming. They did everything in Atlanta, Georgia. They tried to get me to bury Ketra in Georgia. They told me that that means that I would not have to come out of my pocket with anything. I told them, no, I wanted his body transferred to Birmingham. They asked me, did I want him cremated? I told them, no, I did not want no cremation. So I did not know what my son's body was for, like, at least, I want to say 3 or 4, maybe 5 days. They wouldn't tell me where his body was at. They told me that I didn't need to come to Georgia, that I could not come down now, because if I went down now, I still would have knew any information, because they would not tell me anything. They wouldn't tell me which hospital he was at. They wouldn't tell me nothing.
Well, did you ever see the medical records?
Ma'am?
Did you ever see the medical records from the hospital?
I have some of the medical records, but I do not have all of the information pertaining to Ketra Dell. I have some people that have got in contact with the BOP to get additional information, and they told one particular lady that it would take 9 months, and when she contacted them again, they told her to call back the next following day. When she did, she never did get an answer, so it's been over a year. So they are talking about suing the BOP because they would not turn over all my son's information.
Well, were you the power of attorney for your son?
Ma'am?
Did you have the power of attorney for your son while he was in the jail?
Well, when he went to prison, I've been mama and daddy for my kids since day one, so I was the one on all their information, because both of my twins caught a case together.
Right. Well, if you are the power of attorney, then you're entitled to the medical records from the jail. You're also entitled to the investigation report that they would have had to have done upon finding a prisoner dead. You are entitled to all that information if you are the power of attorney for your son.
Yes, I am. I am.
You are entitled to all that information as a matter of law.
Yes, I have contacted them several times, because I even asked for the pictures, and the autopsy doctor told me that I needed to remember him the way that I remember him, that I did not need to look at the pictures. I have had other people that do have pull to get information, and they only sent them a certain amount of information. They will not give over everything, and I don't understand why. I mean, this going on 6 years that I've been fighting, trying to get all the information concerning my son's death, because by me being his mother, there's no way that you go tell me that my son had a heart attack. I mean, a mother too ish, and I know for a fact that they beat my son to death. I know this for a fact. And I know that my son was dead that Saturday night, and they decided to look at it on that Sunday morning, but my son was dead that Saturday night. Because I was told that someone spit in his food.
Did your son have a cellmate?
Well, the autopsy report said that he was last known alone in his cell. So he's supposed to be in the cell by himself. Another report is it's got an S out. Well, the person that's supposed to be in his cellmate, that's supposed to have been the person that worked on him until the correctional officer got there, but I don't know who that person is. But in another autopsy report, it says that he was in a cell by himself. So it's a lot of the information is not going, it don't go together.
Was he in solitary confinement, or was he just in his normal cell?
Well, from my understanding, he was getting, by him getting ready, I think they called it D2U or something like that. He was getting, he was in a unit where he was getting ready to get transferred.
I see. You are entitled to all the investigation reports, all the medical records. You're entitled to all of it. I would really encourage you. You can even do, just, you're in Alabama?
Yes, ma'am.
This happened in what state?
This happened in Atlanta, Georgia.
They must have some, there's a Federal Open Records Act where you can ask for records via that, OPRA it's called. There are various other means where you can get records, and I believe you need to do that. I also think that you should find a civil rights lawyer to investigate this and to actually file a suit.
I went through Freedom of Act. I have went through them at least three times to get to ask for information. I also filed a report with the DOJ during the time, I want to say it was in either 2019 or 20, when they did a wide investigation on the prison where my son got killed at due to drugs, cell phones, and other items where the inmates was able to get out at night and go out and get drugs and bring it back in. So they did an investigation on that prison. And I was told that that investigation is open back up. But I did two complaints with them. And one of the complaints, I did get a reply back that if they need further information, that they would get in contact with me. But I haven't heard anything from them since.
Oh, wow.
And I did have a lawyer, and he dropped the case. I had a lawyer in January of 2019. He dropped the case in August the 6th of 2019, 6 or 7 days before the deadline limitation. And the reason he said he dropped it is because some of the medical information did not have enough blood, stating anything about enough blood in it. But I felt like it was something else that went on, the reason that he dropped the case, because he told me from the beginning that that he can tell that they had beat my son to death. So he ended up dropping the case. And so I tried to file the case myself in Georgia in the federal court. And by me being a mom, now the lawyer, now paralegal, I actually didn't know what I was doing, but I tried, so I got thrown out of that. So I'm back now looking for a lawyer and still trying to get more information. I have people that's reaching out to get more information from the BOP.
So you
but it's been a hard. It's been hard.
Did you file a complaint and then you lost, it was dismissed, and then you're waiting to do an appeal? Where are you?
Well, right now with the court system, this happened in 2019, so I guess I've been dismissed out of court because I did not understand some of the stuff that they were asking me. And the reason that I didn't, because I had gave the judge all the information that I audited, copies of all the information that I had gotten from the prison, but me knowing that the judge have more access to information about my son. So I'm like, if I'm giving you all that I have, why would you still be asking me for information that you have access to that I did not have? So it's been long, it's been hard, and it's been painful, and it's something that I have to deal with daily. But you know, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to let it go. I haven't let it go all this time, and I'm not because, I mean, every day it just is something that happened that it just tell me eventually that what happened to my son is going to be revealed. And when it's revealed, I want to be able to can help other people or show them how to go by doing what you have to do, because I had to learn a lot on my own through some of the people was walking me through. But it's a long, hard fight when you don't have a whole lot of people to help you to do what you need to do.
Wow. Wow. So, Caroline, what could Mrs. Bowie do to really push them to give her the information that she needs that they have not disclosed to her yet, and she has every right to that information? So is there some type of legal realm that she can go through in order to get those records?
Well, it sounds like she's already done a Freedom of Information Act request, a couple of them. It sounds like she filed a complaint, but it was dismissed. I don't know if she appealed that dismissal. Because I'm concerned about the statute of limitations for the complaint.
Right. Wow, this is ridiculous.
But they tell me when a person has been killed or beaten to death, that that's up under a different statute of limitation based on me looking at from the beginning that it was I was filing for wrongful death. Well, this is not to me considered as wrongful death. This considered to me as they killed my son.
Murder, yeah, murder doesn't have a statute of limitations. You're absolutely right.
Right. And see, I've been searching and I've been Googling everything that I read so that I would get the right understanding. And I know that this now is not considered, it couldn't be considered as a wrongful death. I mean, they actually beat my son and killed my son. They beat him to death. And it wasn't no two or three. It had to be every bit of five or six.
Did anybody witness any screams, anything going on? Did you hear anything about what anybody else witnessed?
Well, one inmate told me that they heard the screaming because the way it's made at whatever part of the prison that he was in, well, the way the hallway is made, there is a room where they could take you in. Well, you can hear, but you can't see. Another inmate reached out to me. Well, I found out about this inmate, so I wrote him a letter, and he called me, and we talked on the phone, and he told me that they did my son wrong and that he was trying to get more information concerning my son because he said that they was cool. And he said that my son didn't bother nobody, but that him and the correctional officer and my son had plenty of run-ins, and my son told me himself that was the reason that he wanted to leave that prison because the correctional officer was very low down at that prison.
Had he filed any prior grievance procedures?
Have I filed what now?
Had he filed any grievance procedures against his corrections officer?
I don't know. Because, see, by me being his mom and I'm not, didn't know too much about how all of this go, you know, I really didn't know, you know, what was really going on because it would be times I wouldn't hear from Ketra. But I know that Ketra did tell me that he had issues with them, and I also was told that Ketcher and a couple more guys supposed to be getting together to file something, but I don't know what it was, but it had something to do with the correction office.
I see.
Wow. Mrs. Bowie, I thank you so much for sharing Kedrick's story with us tonight. And I'm definitely going to be praying for you that justice will be served. And I do believe it will be. And you did say that, you know, God is going to work out for you. And yes, he is. I truly believe that. And yes. It's really saddening to me that you have to go through this and that they won't give you what you're asking for. It's just so very wrong. And my heart goes out to you and your family. And I will definitely be praying for you, and so with Caroline. And we just keep us posted, because I want to know, you know, what's going to happen next. And you have my number, and feel free to call me anytime if you need to talk or anything. Just call me, okay? And I am here for you.
And thank you.
And again,
thank you. Thank you for having me on the show, giving me a chance to. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. You're welcome, Mrs. Bowie. Wow. That is just so very, very, very frustrating, Caroline. Very frustrating. It doesn't make sense that this government is so terrible to not give the mother what she's asking for, the medical records. That's her right to have her son's medical records. And, you know, it's really, I am really pissed off right now because they're withholding that from her. And, you know, because of, I'm sure it's evidence in there that they don't want her to see. And she said that the other autopsy said that, and it showed that Kedrick was beaten to death. And people are not being held accountable for this. It's just sickening to me. It's very, very sickening. All right, right now, everybody, we're going to listen to Muti of Saberu, who we play a clip from him every week, and he talks about the topic that we're talking about tonight. So take a listen to Muti as I interviewed him today. Hey, Muti, how are you this evening?
From Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Brackville.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
Tonight on News Forum, the topic is Terrors of Injustice in America, Part 2, Deaths Behind Prison Walls. So we're going to be addressing wrongful deaths, mysterious and suspicious deaths, so-called suicides, intentional murders, and legalized lynchings. And so where you're at, have there been any of that stuff going on, Muti?
Well, communication is a little bit difficult. Things are loosening up now, so now the flow of information is much more fluid. And so we can find out who came up missing. Who not? Because sometimes they'll just ship somebody out. Somebody will be ill due medical neglect, and they'll just ship them to another prison so they can die in any other prison. Death by transportation. They'll make sure they'll do something to create the person, to cause the person to spiral health-wise into certain death, and then they'll put them on a van and transfer them somewhere else to another neo-concentration camp so that they can die there. And the particular prison won't get the blame for it. They'll come up with some...
This is a call from Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Brackville.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
They'll come up with some far-fetched explanation as to what transpired, and it'll never be the truth, so that the people who love the individual that expired won't know the truth, and prisoners are otherwise, unknowing. So I don't want to say unequivocally within the last 12 months there have been murders here, but I'll find out. Like I said, things are loosening up now. Now we have access to different sources of information, so we get on to that. And same thing with medical neglect, death through medical neglect. Same thing. I have to do some research and investigation. of, like, prisoners being beat down by staff. That's a common practice. Being beat down by other prisoners who work for staff. That's a common occurrence. And any time that you use the mechanisms in which they have to vindicate your rights, through the grievance process, or even the abuse process, because they have an abuse process as well. And then, of course, you can also sue state court and federal court. But yeah, the suing in state court and federal court, there's a prerequisite, what's called state exhaustion, administrative exhaustion. You have to exhaust your administrative rights. That is, give the administration a chance to correct itself. So you have various avenues for seeking redress, but what we discover is that some staff, not all, because I don't want to pigeonhole everybody, but some staff are more criminal than the individuals they charge with having to sit over. They break laws, they hide and move under the guise of white supremacy, and they break each law from A to Z. Interesting nugget that I just found out. It's kind of disheartening. You and I did a thing on the two giants that fell, Brother Maroon and Brother
Omar.
Sunni Omar Asghar Ali.
Mm-hmm.
I just found out that Omar Asghar Ali died because they killed him. He went out. This is what I get from an extremely credible source.
Right.
Somebody who's in position to actually know what really happened.
Okay. And when you talked about the medical, the medical neglect there, and that I immediately thought about him. I was going to wait till you got finished to mention him. So go ahead. I'm glad you did.
Now, I just found this out, and it shocked me. He went out to medical to get a biopsy. They took out a polyp,
mm-hmm.
and in the process of taking out the polyp, they hit something vital, and he started bleeding. I don't think it was an artery, but he started bleeding, and they took him back to the prison. As soon as he got back to the prison, he was like, "Oh, something ain't right. You gotta take me back out." And before he could get back to the prison, come back to the hospital, he bled to death.
Yeah.
That's how he died.
Yeah.
I thought he died from natural causes.
No.
I did not know he died from medical and willful neglect. And
yeah.
Got a hell of a suit, so I'm going to reach out to his ex-wife.
Yeah. Yeah, his son told me about that a few months back.
Which one?
His son, Hassan.
Hassan, okay. All right, okay, good. I haven't seen Hassan in years, but I just left Hakeem.
Okay.
And that really shocked me. But the thing is, your listeners need to know that that's a common practice,
mm-hmm.
Medical neglect. It's no accident that he was getting ready to get rhythm in the courts after battling these people for 4 or 5 decades.
Right.
He has a high penalty charge case.
Yes.
And now he's in position to actually vindicate his rights and get his freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens.
Right.
So that's another one of the methods of execution.
Yeah.
Plus, everybody knows he's on the FBI's list.
Yeah.
COINTELPRO.
Right.
Because of the work that he did with the Nation of Islam.
Right.
So everybody knows that he's a target of COINTELPRO. The FBI's counterintelligence program,
mm-hmm.
stuff out African freedom fighters and liberators who are fighting to liberate African people.
Yes.
From the yoke of white supremacy and oppression and genocide.
Yes.
So that's not a mystery.
Right.
It's a matter of his folks are suing now, and when they file for discovery, and they should file also for Freedom of Information Act,
mm-hmm.
to get those records and files, and how they was interfering with his communications and so forth and so on.
Exactly.
He had made that connection, like I was telling you before, with South Africa. And he had got, some high-powered people in the nation of South Africa to advocate for him. So his struggle had went international. So he, as far as they're concerned, he had became dangerous.
Yeah, definitely.
Not, not, it's not out of the realm of them executing him through medical methods.
Yeah. And but, now, Moofy, now okay. with, you know, with his wrongful conviction case, now, you know, Caroline Turner is the wrongful conviction attorney that was working on his case. And, you know, she okay. had, you know, found some very promising things and saw that, you know, she could get him exonerated with her findings and looking through all his transcripts. And, you know, she was so hurt and just heartbroken that that happened to him, you know, that he passed before being exonerated. And, you know, that was just so, it was so ridiculous, so ridiculous. And he definitely would have been exonerated. And they definitely did not want that. They didn't want that.
Not at all. Because of the ramifications of uncovering many of the things in his case.
Yeah.
One of the things that your listeners need to be aware of is that the things that they are subjected to daily in regards to the white supremacist practices or systemic white supremacy in their daily lives, those who can recognize them, and those who only see them on occasion because they're constantly happening 24/7 around the clock, they need to magnify that same experience by 10 to understand what transpires in prison. And magnify that 10 by 5 more, and you'll get what happens to women in prison and jails. And the reason why it's like that is because it's hard to see. These prisons are built outside of the view or even purview of Jane and John Q. Public. And so just think about all the things that they've experienced, and it was on tape. And some of the culprits actually got away, even though it was on tape, where some of the culprits, the grand juries didn't indict, or the district attorneys or the U.S. attorneys didn't press charges until we got active and started demonstrating and, you know, drawing attention to it. And then, and only then, did that happen. Well, that's what it's like in prison, but only magnified times 10.
Wow. Thank you so much, Muti. Now, in closing, what would you like to say tonight concerning the topic, death behind prison walls?
For those who are behind prison walls that can hear my words, and for those who are their loved ones, for those who are their supporters, for those who are their friends, in the words of Frederick Douglass, agitate, agitate, agitate. And we do so by documenting, 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 and share the documents with other people. Those of you who don't write, start writing. Those of you who cannot read, learn to read, because it is a valuable weapon. And for those who are listening and think me saying that is preposterous, they need to know that 50% of the people that are imprisoned are illiterate. And another 25 to 30% are functionally illiterate. That is, they can read, but they can't comprehend. And then you have another portion of that, maybe another 10 to 11% who are legally illiterate. That is, they can read, but they don't know the law. And so that's almost like 95% of the entire population in prison that is clueless about what's going on. So we have to learn. If we can't read, we have to learn how to read. If we can't write, learn how to write. And if you can write and you don't write, just start writing and document, 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 document. Document what's going on. And I always tell people, when you begin to document, don't lie. Don't waste your breath lying, because the moment you lie and somebody catches you on a lie, you become unreliable in everything you do.
Yes,
leave the
indeed.
Lying to them, because they will do enough for you on a daily basis that lets you know that they're corrupt and that they're criminals.
You have 1 minute left.
Yes.
And so just document and then talk. Organize, 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 organize. Spread the message. Get people involved. If you're not involved, get involved. Get other people involved. Fundraise. Support people that support you.
All right. That was Mutio Saberu, everybody, wrongfully incarcerated in the state of Pennsylvania now for 40-plus years. And, wow, it's just ridiculous. Moody said that there's so much cover-up going on in the prison system where they transfer people out of prison when they know that they want to kill them. So they will take them and transport them to another facility so that they can die there, and that would basically leave that facility where they came from harmless because they didn't die there. And that's crazy. And, you know, it's just sickening to me. And, Caroline, before we bring on Omar, I do want to acknowledge Francetta Mays is on tonight as well, and we'll be speaking to her in a little from the NAACP in Oklahoma. But, Caroline,
yes.
You were working on Omar's post-conviction, and so what do you think about what Muti was saying? And just talk to me a little bit about how that was for you. I know we talked about it last year, but just fill everyone in who did not hear that broadcast last year.
Yeah, I was representing him on his post-conviction case. The brief had been filed. It was a really interesting case. Like Muti was saying, it was, you know, he was targeted along with, it was a very similar case actually to Malcolm X's case, only it was in Philadelphia, not New York. But there were confidential informants, there were plants from the Philadelphia Police Department was working with the FBI. It was a crazy scenario, just like it was in Malcolm X's case. And his two people accused of his murder were actually exonerated last year, one posthumously because he had died in prison. And it was, there were so many similarities, it wasn't even funny. And I was really excited about this case because I felt we had a really, really good chance of getting it, getting him a new trial, exonerated eventually. But then he got sick. He was sick. He did have cancer, but he wasn't near death at all, as far as
right.
we could see. And then all of a sudden he died. And it was such a huge shock.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah, it was a shock to me, too. Now, I remember because that was the day, what was it, December 12th, because that was News Forum night, and you told me about it and, you know, how you were feeling, you know, and, wow, that just blew me away. Blew me away, literally blew me away. But we do have his son tonight, Hassan Sistrunk, who is going to talk to us about his dad, his Abu. And so let's welcome Hassan to News Forum tonight. Hassan, how are you this evening?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good, good. Welcome to News Forum, and thank you so much for coming on tonight as a guest to talk about your wonderful Abu Omar Askias Ali. So talk to us about your dad. I know your dad wrote a book. He wrote a couple books. And but talk to us about your dad, and then talk to us about what you felt and what you thought and what you have been experiencing since his passing. Hassan?
All right, we're trying to get Hassan back on real quick. I think Hassan got disconnected there. But we do have Francetta Mays on the line right now. And so I bring her on while we get our brother Hassan back.
Okay. How are you this evening, Francetta?
You. I'm outstanding.
Hi.
How are you?
I am good. I'm good. Thanks for asking. Now, you heard Muti talking about what goes on in prisons as far as deaths. And I know there in Oklahoma, there are some deaths that have taken place there as well. And I don't think, well, Linda is not on, so I'll try to get her on next week. But there's a case out there in Oklahoma, James Basco, who was murdered in prison. And do you know have any information on that case, Francetta?
I do know that it's going on in Oklahoma City. Fellow advocate Michael Washington out of Oklahoma City with the Oklahoma Criminal Justice Coalition has been heading that up. And I did reach out to Michael. I knew you were going to ask me about that and to see if he could get on the line tonight. He is the one that was with Linda Steele when all the media was down there regarding that. And no, ma'am, I did not get involved with that case. I've been really busy with some other stuff.
Okay. That's not a problem. We'll get the next week.
Let me say this.
Make sure.
Yeah, let me say this, though. I just want to piggyback off of what Muti stated. This is something that's been going on, you know, with the internet, with media being more prevalent, where we have access to it. We are now finding out, but this is something that has been going on for the longest time. I remember when I was interviewing Keith Gossel with Julius Jones in his when they were getting ready to execute him. And he and I both, being around the same age bracket, was able to reflect back on our mindset of, you know, how we were trained when we were raised, how if you were guilty, if we saw your name in the paper, you know, on the news, that the assumption was that you were guilty and you just throw the whole person away. A lot changes as you start adulting and realize that, you know, there are, you know, as Muti was alluding to and Ms. Bowie as well, and, you know, the fact that there is so much corruption in the legal system, and that's one of the reasons why it really grieves my soul. It really does, that we, the people, I'm talking about humanity, we have the audacity to fulfill our lives with so much entertainment that we lose focus of humanity, of people. And, you know, when I was in one of the prisons, I don't remember which one, but I was telling the guys, you know, being with the NAACP, I was like, you know, tell your people to contact me. And that way we can form this really big group of people and start working on these cases together. And I had so many men, sis, that were coming to me telling me that they didn't have any family. They've been there 30 years. They've been there 40 years.
Yeah.
They've been, you know what I mean? And it never crossed my mind. It never crossed my mind. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, when you think about where we are as a society. And so that was one of the reasons why I went to our NAACP president here in Tulsa. And I shared with him that we have to get NAACP chapters that are inmate ran in the prisons here in Oklahoma. And I'd like to charge, I don't know what that's going to take, and I may be out of order, but I'd like to charge each president of each NAACP to start breathing life back into your community. And let's start getting people together so that we're able to activate a nationwide call to action, and we're able to put our money and our voices and our lack of support for this. I mean, it's retarded that we're paying people to be in a position as employees that are doing such a raggedy job, and we're like Doris Day, hey, sarah, sarah, whatever will be while we play Candy Crush, go to the casino, and spend more time watching YouTube videos and people fighting on Instagram, mm-hmm. it baffles my brain. We
yes,
don't even have
mine
conversations
as well.
Anymore.
Ridiculous.
You know, we don't even have conversations anymore. When you go into a restaurant, you see everybody sitting across from each other and they got their phones out. And, you know, that illiteracy, the illiteracy rate.
That is so true.
I don't understand.
So true.
You know, and I don't understand about that as well. Like, I really feel like we should be filing class action lawsuits against the United States for the fact that they haven't educated the people, you know. I mean, it's just crazy.
Exactly.
So I'm kind of I do want to say one more thing, sis.
Because I'm going to have to get Hassan back on. He's on now, and I'm going to have to get him on so he can talk about his dad.
No problem.
I'm going to bring you back on. I'm going to bring you back on, though.
Yeah, I just had
okay?
to close in for Ms. Louie. Okay, so
let me bring Hassan back on, and I'm going to definitely come back to you, Pastor Mays. Hassan, welcome back. And I don't know if you heard the questions I was asking. I think you had started to answer, but then somehow we lost you there. So did you hear anything I asked you?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So you can go ahead and respond.
Well, like I was saying, one of the things, you know, I was saying that my father has been incarcerated almost 50 years, and you know, he had things in the courts which would have exonerated him from these charges that was put on him. You know, at that time. My father was a high official in Nation of Islam, so, you know, he was targeted because he was, you know, getting the drug dealers off the street, so forth and so on. And, you know, back in those days, a lot of the drug dealers worked for the police department. So the fact that they was, you know, stepping on the toes of the police department in terms of them getting their money and things of that nature, you know, that made him a target. So he was incarcerated ever since then, you know, since 71. So, you know, in the process of him being incarcerated, you know, he's been fighting to, you know, obtain his freedom. And in the process of that, you know, he'd been going for medical treatment, you know, like he had a colonoscopy. They, you know, go for the colonoscopy, you know, every time he scheduled for one. He had they said he had cancer it was in the earlier stages, so it was being treated. But in this case this time when he went, he supposedly had some polyps when they looked, you know, it's colonoscopy. So when he went back to get the polyps removed, you know, apparently, you know, they nipped him, and he had internal bleeding, which he didn't know at the time. So, you know, he wind up bleeding within, and they took him back to the hospital, and that's when he subsequently passed away. But, you know, they try to make it seem as if, you know, his cancer, the cancer, but they come to find out that the cancer wasn't as bad as, you know, as they wanted people to believe after we had the attorneys looking into it, you know. So, you know, as we speak now, the attorneys are still on top of things, keeping us abreast on what's going on in terms of, you know, how things is going. Yeah.
Yes. So, and now, did you all have any problems getting your medical medical records and all?
Well, in the beginning, it was a little touchy, you know. It wasn't as if, you know, like the lady that spoke before, how she was going through a lot to obtain the medical records for her son. It wasn't that bad because, you know, my stepmother has power of attorney. She had power of attorney, so that gave us the opportunity, you know, to get the medical records, so forth and so on.
Okay.
You know, we'll get a little more ease.
Yes.
But
yes.
It's a thing where, you know, with the prison system, you know, is very, very difficult to obtain medical records and things of that nature when there's a cover up.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And the prison system is good for cover ups.
Yes,
you know,
indeed. Yes.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, well, my heart definitely goes out to you and to your family, and to your stepmom, Karen. And, you know, it's just really craziness, this corrupt system that we're under here in this country. And
right.
They're corrupt on the outside. They're corrupt on the inside. They're just corrupt all the way around. And now your dad, he was 81, correct? 80 years old. Wow. 80 years old. And, they just murdered him.
If you would have seen my bull, you know what I'm saying, he was 80. But you wouldn't have been able to tell. Because
right.
He was very, very
active. He's healthy. Yeah, I have
stayed
been.
In shape.
Yes, very.
He stayed in the top shape.
I can tell by
you
the pictures.
I
mean? Yes.
Right. He stayed in shape. He didn't look like an 80-year-old. Didn't move like one.
Right, definitely not. Definitely not.
Right.
I have some pictures of him, pictures from last year, pictures of him, up-to-date pictures, and definitely does not look 80 at all. Not at all.
Stayed in good shape. Stayed in good shape. Worked out constantly.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And, he was a boxer and all that stuff, had his boxing gym and all. And... Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he was still doing that type of stuff in prison, you know, staying in shape, because
yes.
he definitely
yes.
looked very in shape. Looked very in shape.
Yes,
and tell us about his book, Hassan.
The Truth and Nothing But the Truth is the name of his book. And then it speaks about the corruption of the penal system and how, you know, the police, you know, was corrupt in how they go about to obtain justice and they do whatever means necessary to put charges on the person that they want to get out the way. It goes on and speaks about a variety of things, about how the politics of the prison system works and things of that
mm-hmm.
nature. It's a hell of a book.
Yeah, so make sure you guys purchase that book. We talked about that book last year. And, again, it's The Truth and Nothing But the Truth. So definitely check it out. You can find it on Amazon. And I think it's also on the, what's that ebook thing, Kindle. So you can definitely find that book, purchase a copy, and read it. Because it will definitely awaken you, for those of you that are still asleep, as to how corrupt this injustice system is, that will enlighten you some. Hassan, anything else you would like to say tonight?
Well, I just want to thank everybody for their prayers and their condolences and things of that nature, of the passing of my father.
Yes.
I really appreciate that. You know, I'm still getting over it. You know, me and my Abu was close. You know, but he was close like that with all his children. You know, so you know, he's missed very much.
And how many siblings do you have, Hassan?
It's nine of us. Six sisters.
Wow.
Six sisters. Three brothers. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. And now, where do you fall in?
I am the fourth oldest.
Okay. Okay.
Yes,
awesome.
I'm the fourth oldest. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And all
awesome.
Of them is my father's children. All of them is my father's children.
Wow. Wow. That's
mm-hmm.
wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah. And I'm praying for you and your family, and justice will be served. And, you know, because your dad was a great man, Yabu was a great man.
Yeah.
And may his legacy live on. And it is living on. His legacy is living on through you, through your siblings, and, you know, through his books and through his commentaries. And I played some of his commentaries last year, and I'm going to play some more this year as well. Probably next week I'm going to play some of his commentaries. What a great man. And he's touched so many lives. So many lives. There are so many guys that come out of prison, and they talk about him and, you know, how he mentored them and, you know, how he helped them cope and show them a better way, you know. And I'm talking about those that did commit crimes. You know, he literally changed their lives. So your dad was a wonderful, wonderful man. And God bless you and your family. And we will definitely keep you in prayer. Caroline, would you like to say something to Hassan?
Yes, Hassan, I'm so terribly sorry for your loss. I didn't know your father personally. I knew his case well. And I heard so many wonderful things about him. I had been really looking forward to talking to him and getting to know him better, because I was kind of brought into the case kind of towards the end. But his case was very worthy, and he sounded like an amazing man. And it was just such a shock that he died so suddenly. And I'm so, so sorry.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you, Caroline. And again, thank you so much, Hassan, for coming on and being a guest tonight. And we'll talk soon. Because I would also like to have you on the podcast, as we talked about a while back. So, again, thank you so much for coming on. And just stay on, because someone may have questions for you. We're going to take some callers now that have been waiting patiently to talk tonight. Caller number one, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hi, how are you, Dr. Chinchilla? Okay. This is Antonia Bass.
Hey, fine.
I just wanted to...
Hi, Antonia.
Hi. I'm all right, thank you. You know, I didn't know you were being nominated also as one of the contenders for the Internet Hall of Fame for this year. And I'd like to say...
No, hold on, Tony. Yes.
Okay.
She's been nominated this year for the host of the year. Just make your comment. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Host of the year. Anyway, I was hoping to say that I really do enjoy your interviews you have with these, you know, fantastic people. So I heard you mention Hassan. I'm just getting the impression that the title of the book, The Truth and Nothing But the Truth, may be his father's book. Is that what it is?
Yes, yes.
Max, what is his father's name?
His father's name is Omar Askia Ali.
Okay, good. Okay, the reason I'm asking is because I'm quite sure there have been other persons who have something in common who would be interested in knowing there is somebody who wrote a book about all of this information. And if that's the case, I'll be glad to... tell them about it, because I know someone who has a relative right now who's going through something with his grandson, and I've been trying to find out his number, which is being difficult to find, and maybe he can get an insight on what to do to help. And I did tell him about you and your program, and also about Caroline, and I think that it'll be wonderful to turn them on to you all. Because, after all, you know, it's not every day you can get a person who would work in your behalf like you all are doing. So it's always wonderful to hear your program. And when I can, I definitely tune in. So that's all basically what I wanted to have to say.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Antonia. Everybody, Antonio Bass is the informational guru right here on WBNN. She is also a host here. Thank you so much, Antonia. Next, we have caller number two. You're live on the air of News Forum. How are you tonight?
Yes, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia. Calling, tapping in because verily this subject is very deep. Shout out to Dr. Chinchilla J. But boy, can I say something real quick? So first I want to speak on, you know, that I'm an individual who's been to prison quite a few times, you know what I'm saying? And I bear witness to some of these heinous activities in behind the walls and behind the gates where, you know, I've seen people get pepper sprayed. I've seen people get 190. If you don't know what 190 is, you know, this is a mixture of 190-degree water with oil mixtures and cosmetics where you get splashed in the face with that and then your skin melt off, you know what I'm saying? I've seen all kinds of things. And then I've also seen irate outspurts of prisoners being taken to confinement, you know what I'm saying, taken to the hole, and violently, you know what I'm saying, where it's an outburst and it's, you know what I mean, it's a screaming and yelling and it's a lot of fighting, where a CERT team or some type of active team has to come and restrain a prisoner, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, not saying that who's right, wrong, or indifferent, but in a lot of times, you know what I mean, these are irate situations where everyone, you know, and what I want to get at is when we live in the streets and we're connected to people in the streets, you know what I'm saying, and there's a slight chance that you may wind up in prison, you know what I'm saying, we forget about some of the evils that come along with going to prison because the people behind the walls, unfortunately, these are jobs for them, and they're criminals just like the people that's in there. You know what I'm saying? So the whole thing is before you get there, you're supposed to know that already. You know what I'm saying? So the more careful and more strategic you are with sticking to yourself and, you know what I mean, repenting. First of all, are you in there reevaluating yourself, or are you in there trying to bring the streets to the prison? You know what I'm saying? A lot of times, you know, not saying everybody, but everybody that I know got twisted upside down and beat up and thrown off of tears and all kinds of shit. Excuse me. Were people that didn't abide by the system of the rules, the ethics of the rules in these particular joints. Even though some of us are our targets. You know what I mean? Because always shout out to the sheikh, you know what I'm saying? And Beverly, the brother that just got off, his father, you know what I mean? You know, to Allah we belong, to Allah we shall return. And first of all, you know what I mean? We have to look at it like this. Look at the positive side of this. If this was an individual who prayed to God and who asked God to rectify his affairs and to ask him to allow him to never return to whatever it was that gained him close to receive these evils, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? If he repented with sincerity and certainty, you know what I'm saying, then reverently, and he asked to not be thrown into the fire as if he hate returning to disbelief, you know what I'm saying, then maybe this was his way of being considered as a martyr. This may be martyrdom for this individual, you know what I'm saying? And those who undergo martyrdom literally are granted paradise, you know what I'm saying? I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, you know what I'm saying? We here to build the bricks up, stand the sticks up, because we take it back to wilderness. Yo, one last thing, Chinchilla.
Yeah.
Check your satellites.
Check the satellites? Okay. All right, everybody. It was Clev One. He's a host of this network as well. We thank him for calling in. He always calls in and supports every show. And I want to thank Serena Bowie tonight and Hassan for telling the stories of their loved ones. You know, these prisons are just horrendously horrible, and they're sickening. They're just outrageously inhumane. The conditions in the prisons are terrible, terrible, terrible. And I was going to give you all the statistical data tonight. I think I'll give it to you next week because there's just so much. So next week I am going to actually give you a breakdown of all of the prison deaths in every state in this country for this year. We're just going to talk about 2022, and it's going to literally blow your mind. You know, we have many deaths throughout this country. Rikers Island in New York, oh, my gosh, that's just a horrible, horrible facility. And it's supposed to be like a holding facility for people who are waiting trial. But yet people die before they even get to trial. It's crazy that they're murdering people left and right there. In the state of Georgia, many, many deaths. Even here in Pennsylvania, many deaths. There's a death last week right here in Pennsylvania. This month alone, there's been two deaths. It may have been three now because I think someone messaged me about someone that died, was it today? Or either they're in the hospital from passing out or something. So that may be a death as well now. And it's just really crazy, everybody. It's just ridiculous. And if no one pays attention to what's going on in this country, in these prison systems, it's a shame. Shame on you. Because just because people are in prison, everybody that's in there did not do the crime. And even for those that did do crimes, there are people in there for petty crimes that are being murdered, that are being raped, that are being dehumanized and everything. It's just a shame. And it frustrates me to no end because that should not be. Yes, people make mistakes. And, yeah, there are some animals in prison that are behind bars and need to stay there for the rest of their lives. But those that are there that are trying to change and make themselves better so that when they get out, they can become productive citizens in society, guess what? They don't need to be treated that way. No one does. Huh. We're going to take another caller. Caller, you're live on the Everett News Forum. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm not my best, woman of God, but how you doing?
I'm fine, Brother Hooney, and upset and frustrated at the same time.
Oh, yeah, and I'm right there with you. Bottom line is, you know, it's so much going on, and we've got to hold people accountable in reference to that beautiful mother who spoke on behalf. My message to you is just like Bob Marley, don't ever give up that fight, okay? And these people that's been in control for so long know that money is their God. I don't care how they try to say it and they claim the Constitution, this and that. That's the only thing that they worship. That's the only thing that they value. Even though money won't bring your son back, but that's the only thing that they feel some type of grievance for is when they start giving out dividends, okay? Young brother, keep your head up. Mm-hmm. The call from lockdown. Keep your head up. But I know the clock is ticking. I love you. And then give me a call or inbox when your show is over, okay?
Okay. All right. Thanks, Brother Hooney. All right. Brother Hooney is also a host on this network as well, everybody. And, yeah, it's crazy, everyone. Craziness that happens in this country each and every day. In prisons all over the country. All right, Pastor Mays, let's talk. Now, with these deaths in prisons and the treatment of inmates, you know, there's all types of deaths, suicides, beatings, lynchings, medical deprivation, people being deprived of medical treatment and their medication, and, you know, it's just all types of things that's going on and inmates are dying left and right in this country, in prisons. And what are your final thoughts on that, Pastor Mays?
My final thoughts is awareness that we have to wake up. We have to wake up, and we have to get out of that mindset, as you were stating, because it my blood is boiling right now. And, you know, being an activist and being involved, you hear too much of this. And it's like the people that are spectating only watch a snippet on the news, and they can go on with their lives, but that's not fair, because we're dealing across the board with someone's husband, someone's child. And it could be yours or you. That's what's so crazy, is because we're sitting back watching these injustices. And like I said, it becomes a soundbite. So I just want America to wake up. You know, my heart goes out to Hassan and Mrs. Bowie. I did share on the NAACP as well as my Facebook page the truth and nothing but the truth. I believe we all should push that just to get knowledge out there. So many people say they don't know
yes.
that. And we've got to push knowledge, because we can't – we got to stop thinking that the church and the school and – I mean, that hasn't worked. So if you're not educated, get educated. If you don't know, be honest about that. Whatever areas of your personal deficiency, the time is to stop blaming the government, stop blaming mom and daddy, stop blaming situations and circumstances, and we got to take ownership of where we are. And we got to stop waiting for the next person and the next person to do what we're entitled to do. We all have a creative innate ability to help. We just don't care about helping people that we don't know, and that must change. Because in order for us to affect change, we're going to have to do this together. And I thank God for you, Dr. Chinchilla, my sister, for the platform. And I just pray that we give you the support financially and everything else that you deserve for having this level of platform. I shared with Michael Washington to get on, and I believe he may have chimed in, but he's the activist out of Oklahoma City that CNN is getting ready to do an interview with, because he's been in rain, sleet, snow, and hail on the front lines down there as people have died one after another in that Oklahoma City jail. So if not tonight, maybe another night you can get him.
Yes, definitely will. Yeah, because I think we're out of time now to take more callers. Yeah, but thank you so much, and we'll definitely get him on. And Oklahoma is just another horrible place with prison deaths. It's just crazy. And, you know, they're definitely one of the top 10 for prison deaths in this country. And it's sad that we're just... we have 3 more months, October, November, yeah, 3 more months left in this year, and it's ridiculous how many more inmates are going to die before the end of the year, because the numbers now altogether is just absolutely horrendous. And everybody, make sure you tune in next week to get these numbers of inmate death just for 2022 alone. And I'm also going to give you the deaths all the way from when they first start counting the deaths. And I think I have that information from like 1976 up until now. And the numbers are going to literally blow you away. They're going to blow you away. And it's just craziness. And it's so doggone frustrating. So thank you so much, Pastor Mays, for coming on and talking to everybody about, you know, we definitely need to be educated. We need knowledge, and we can never ever think we know too much, because there's so many illiterate people out here. As Muti pointed out, there's a lot of illiterate people behind the walls, and it's a sad thing. And people just don't care. Once people go into these prison systems, people tend to turn their backs on them. But thank God we have people like Francetta, people like Caroline, people like myself, and people like other advocates out there that are advocating for the rights of prisoners, for the rights of the wrongfully convicted, for the rights of juvenile lifers, and for the rights of those who have been killed, murdered, slaughtered while incarcerated in the United States penal system. Shame, shame, shame. Shame on you, government. Shame on you, COs. Shame on you, wardens. Shame of the superintendents for these state prisons. Shame on you all. It doesn't make sense. It's ridiculous. And shame on the Secretary of State as well. Shame on you all. All right, we're going to go into some cozy times, and I'll be right back. And don't forget, guys and gals listening tonight, you can donate to Be a Voice. And I invite you to do so by cash apping $ Be a Voice Tour. That's $ BEAVOICETOUR. Or Venmo is Be a Voice, BEAVOICE. All right, and you can also find out how you can be a guest on News Forum, too. Right after Ngozi time, I will be right back at you.
We want to thank Dr. Chichil J tonight. You know, this is a very unique forum. So I suggest all callers who are late callers or not part of the guest rostrum, you better press 1 right away because you're not going to get on. Because the way Chichil does her show and all of the facts and all of the outstanding variety of topics that she talks about every single week, you just need to sit back and listen. If you are able to come on, that's a blessing too. So all the folks that could not come on, press 1 earlier, but we appreciate you coming on to listen, most importantly. And that's what it's all about here at News Forum. Tomorrow night right here on the Story Network, The Dynasty, I'll be on. Tomorrow night we will not have Merc City Hip Hop program. I will be on tomorrow night with my rendition. And a lot of people, all the people that emailed me, they haven't heard me do my thing in a long time. I got y'all. We Needs the Blues, and I'll be on tomorrow night with it. Olasky Presents, 9:30 Eastern, Daylight Time, right here at WBNN. And Goatee Time, Multimedia Has Advertising with WBNN. And, of course, we're at Pinterest, and we're at the wonderful Twitter, and we're at the wonderful Instagram, at Ngozi underscore time. Oladele Malewa Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight? Oladele.ngozi@gmail.com. Now, of course, like I said on Friday night, I want to get this clear. We have 4 finalists for the Anna Waddell Award, which is the WBNN Host of the Year. This young lady here that's hosted tonight is one of those finalists, along with, at this time, Jerry Petito, Ansel Thomas Smith, and Tara Strength. We'll see how 4 and 5 goes. I'm not going to mention the 5th because the 4th person is Tara Strength, but we'll see what happens. I am your mother and father's favorite producer, the mentor, Oladele Malewa Ngozi, saying goodnight and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis tonight. And now back to the 2021 WBNN New Host of the Year, the Soy Griffin Award winning Dr. Chichilla J.
Thank you so much, Brother O. All right, again, everyone, I'd like to thank you for tuning in tonight to News Forum with the girl Chinchilla J and to my special guests, Serena Bowie and Hassan Sistrom. Thank you so much. And as always, Caroline Turner, Francetta Mays, thank you so much as well. October the 2nd, everybody, is Wrongful Conviction Awareness Day. And that is on a Sunday this year. So on that Sunday, definitely we will be talking about wrongful convictions and have wrongful conviction cases on. And earlier that day, from 3 p.m. until 6 p.m., will be our Wrongful Conviction podcast, which will be the 2nd annual Wrongful Conviction Awareness Day podcast. It's a virtual event. So if you would like to partake in that virtual event, you'd best call me. Call me as soon as possible because spaces are almost full. 844-642-8378, extension 8808, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, 844-642-8378, extension 8808. On the eve of wrongful conviction day, there's going to be a pre-wrongful conviction awareness day. And that is going to be featuring the case of Bishop Kenneth Atkins, which he has asked me to host that for him on that day, which will be another virtual event. And more information will be coming for that and for both as well. So check out Mike Tyson Entertainment TV's Facebook page, and you will get all the information as to the times and all of that on those pages. Mike, M-I-C, Test, T-E-S-T, Entertainment TV's Facebook page. Like and follow that page. Also, like and follow me on Instagram at Princess Chinchilla. Follow me on Facebook, Chinchilla Jonicia. Now, you can find out how you can donate to be a voice and how you can also be a guest on this wonderful show, News Forum. And happy birthday, happy heavenly birthday to my dad, whose birthday is tomorrow, September 19th. He passed away November 19th, 2017. Time goes by so fast, it does not seem like it has been that long, but it has. And also tomorrow is my uncle's birthday, Uncle Rashid, but I just call him Rashid. It's his birthday tomorrow. And today is a happy heavenly birthday to my Aunt May, who probably is about 200 years old now. But anyway, all right, everybody. I'm your girl, Chinchilla J. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember to always, always be productive on purpose and to always be a voice. I'm Chinchilla J.
Would you like to donate to a good cause? Well, Right the Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice could use your support. Help them continue to expand their advocacy work for justice as they fight for freedom for the wrongfully incarcerated, exoneration, compensation, and juvenile lifers as they stand and fight against mass incarceration, over-sentencing, wrongful convictions, gentrification, racial inequities, racism, and to change legislation throughout this country by rebirthing this criminal justice system one city at a time through their model, Criminal Justice Reborn. You may donate to Be a Voice via Cash App, $ Be a Voice Tour, that's capital B-E-A-V-O-I-C-E, lowercase T-O-U-R. You may also donate via Venmo at www.venmo.com/u/B E-A-V-O-I-C-E. Venmo.com/u/BAVoice. For more information or to find out how to become a part of Be a Voice or join Right the Wrong Coalition, dial 844-642-8378, extension 111. If you would like to be a guest on News Forum and have a case of injustice, please give me a call Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. at 844-642-8378 to tell me about your story. And you might just be News Forum's next special guest.